What's going on, everybody? Welcome into the Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. We are streaming on the Game Nashville app. I am Chase McCabe. He is Ryan Porth. Marquise Munson hanging out at the Game Nashville studios by Wholesale Inc., powered by RumbleOn.com. Ryan, good morning. What's up?
What's up, Chaser? How are you on this fine Wednesday?
It is Wednesday.
It's hump day.
Hump day. We are flying through another week, as seems to be the theme with the quarantine life, but hey, here we are. I'm feeling good. I'm feeling real good today. Excited to get the show started and discuss Logan Ryan, because over the past few weeks through free agency, the question has been, could Logan Ryan return to the Tennessee Titans? Well, my friends, I have an answer for you. The answer is no, because he tweeted out yesterday his goodbye. And he put it on Instagram, Twitter, it basically anywhere that would get the message across. And look, when the Titans tweeted out that they were giving the 26, number 26, to Christian Fulton, I think that everybody knew then, okay, he's probably not coming back. But he put out on Twitter, at Real Logan Ryan, a long goodbye to the Tennessee Titans, thanking everybody with the organization, thanking the fans. I've seen he's retweeted Steve Lehman a couple of times about a story that Steve did on Logan and his charitable work. So, that shows you the kind of person that Logan Ryan is, that he, you know, takes the time to work with the community, to thank the fans. I think it's genuine, but it is in a sense sad that it's the goodbye and he's now put that out there. So what do you think? You know, he's still unsigned. I mean, I guess things could change, but it feels like his time here is done.
Well, it certainly does when he goes on social media, like you said, and says as much.
It starts with, my chapter in Tennessee has come to a close. So I think that's pretty much it.
Exactly. And towards the end of the post, he says, I'm looking forward to continue to play at an elite level for an organization that's a great fit for my family and me. And I found the words elite level to be poignant for Logan Ryan, because he's been adamant about getting that $10 million contract. And it's obvious that no team has stepped to the plate to offer him that contract. And he still feels like he can play at a very high level. Not to say that the Titans didn't feel that way, but you know, I think he's determined to still get the contract that he's looking for. And the fact that the Titans not only drafted Christian Fulton and signed Jonathan Joseph, you know, it just wasn't adding up for Logan Ryan to come back, especially if the Titans are wanting to use, you know, their really last big contract available within their salary cap on potentially Jadeveon Clowney or another pass rusher. So it's not a surprise at all. We all figured this was coming. And Logan Ryan took it upon himself yesterday to announce it himself. And, you know, it kind of makes me think that John Robinson is taking up the old Patriots way, or really the still current Patriots way, which is letting go of quality players while maybe it might be too soon. He's letting players go on free agency perhaps a year before he should, to risk not having a player under contract a year too late. So not a surprise. Obviously we wish Logan Ryan all the best. He was great with the media and the fans here in Nashville, and hopefully wherever he ends up, he can have continued success.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though, and we're going to hear from Floyd in just a second on this. I just believe, you know, number one, we're in a different climate. So things could have been quite different for Logan Ryan, for Jadeveon Clowney, if free agency went off as normal. But there's nothing normal about how free agency happened, because you couldn't get physicals, and so signings were delayed. So who knows what that did.
Do you think that's why Logan Ryan didn't re-sign with the Titans?
I don't know if that's why he didn't re-sign with the Titans, but I think that could be why he's still out there.
Okay, all right.
That's what I mean, because, you know, he's not that old, but he's considered
29.
I mean, a veteran player. And so I don't know. I mean, I could be just grasping at straws to find a reason of why he's unsigned. But I think another reason why he's unsigned has to do with what Floyd Reese said yesterday on Jared and the GM when they got into this subject of why Logan Ryan is unsigned and didn't come back to the Titans.
Well, that's a death trap, you know. I mean, you're in trouble now because $10 million for a corner is, you know, a sizable amount. And you know, if you can't, you know, if you're running like a safety instead of like a corner, then it's hard to demand corner money. And I think that's, you know, part of the problem you run into. So, and I'm just going by the, you know, by his expectations, if you will, because that's what he announced to everybody. You know, I mean, that was public knowledge. And I don't like it when any of that ever happens, but it happened. But I'll say this, the rest of the league is exactly the same place. There's nobody jumping out there to sign him. I mean, so whatever it was, you know, going home, to your house that you know and you love is better than going to some stranger's house for the same amount of money.
I felt when they signed him that $10 million a year was a little rich for my blood, for Logan Ryan. They got every bit of it out of him. I will say that. I'm not going to sit here after the fact and trash Logan Ryan and say, well, he wasn't worth it. It worked. He was locker room, community, on the field, everything. You got your money's worth. But I agree with Floyd. He did himself no favors by coming out and saying that he wasn't going to play for less than $10 million of what he had on his previous contract. You can think that, but don't say it, because it's clearly hurt him in this situation.
Sure. And to Floyd's point, you know, Logan Ryan isn't a blazer at corner, and the league is getting faster and faster and faster. I mean, younger. We saw the first running, or the first wide receiver go off the board being Henry Ruggs, who ran a 4.2 whatever at the 40, at the combine. And Logan Ryan can't keep up with someone like a Henry Ruggs if Henry Ruggs is running a go route. So, you know, Logan Ryan was a perfect fit for Dean Pease's defense, and I do wonder if Dean Pease was still the DC, if Logan Ryan would be coming back, if, you know, if the different wrinkles that Mike Vrabel is going to throw in there as we assume the DC, maybe that's why Logan Ryan is not coming back. I mean, look, over the 3 years, Logan Ryan had 8.5 sacks as a corner. You know, Dean Pease loves blitzing with the corners. You know, we'll learn over time what Mike Vrabel has in mind for the defense. Maybe they just didn't see Logan Ryan as a perfect fit on his defense compared to Dean Pease's defense.
Well, I'm going to go back to something you said just a few minutes ago, because I believe it's spot on. Is John Robinson running? Is he doing the Patriot way? Is that what he's doing in this situation of, yeah, it's Logan Ryan's productive. He fit in the Dean Pease defense. He'll probably still fit in Vrabel's defense and what Vrabel wants to do, because, as I've said many times, the great coaches, they make their system work for the players that they have. They make it all fit. So I don't really see any problem there, but I think this could be a little bit of the Patriot way of John Robinson is thinking, well, I'm not going to pay you $10 million. I did that for 3 years. You earned it. But you're 29 years old now. If you sign another 3-year contract, that's going to put you in your early 30s. We know what happens for most players when they get into their 30s. So I'm not going to pay you $10 million a year. If I can go out and I can find somebody that is younger and faster and cheaper than you, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's what he did. So that's I think from a personal standpoint, he probably hates to see a player like Logan Ryan go. But from a business standpoint of trying to make all the pieces fit, he did the right thing. And that's exactly what Belichick and the Patriots would do.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think you can just point to this move, though, with the whole Patriots way thought. I mean, the fact that they traded Jarrell Casey. Exactly. Traded Jarrell Casey to Denver for a 7th-round pick, which in turn has turned into a 6th-round pick next year after draft weekend. You know, Jarrell Casey was still a productive player, especially there in the postseason. But obviously, he took a little bit of a step back this past season compared to the level that we all expect out of Jarrell Casey in years prior. So, you know, you trade away Jarrell Casey, you get something for him, you clear that cap space while you can, and it's obvious that they're trying to use the cap space for someone else, potentially Jadeveon Clowney. And now they're letting Logan Ryan walk in free agency. I don't know if you could say this same thing about Jack Conklin. I just think Jack Conklin priced himself out of Tennessee. But I think specifically with Jarrell Casey and Logan Ryan, I think those are two cases of players on defense that can still be productive, but they're getting out a year too early instead of a year too late.
The thing I love about John Robinson is he uses the phrase, he's going to get the best players that fit this football team and fit what they're trying to do, but he's not going to overpay. Now, has he overpaid to an extent at times? Yes. But I believe he tries to avoid it as much as possible. And as he's been on this job longer, I think he's gotten better at it. You know, Malcolm Butler is a prime example of a guy that he probably paid too much money for. And I believe he realizes that now. So he's not wanting to make that same mistake again. That's where some of the Patriots way comes into play. And if it works, everybody's going to praise him. But the problem is, right now, a lot of fans live in the Madden world of, oh, well, why didn't you sign him to this contract? Because on Madden I did, and I made it all work under the salary cap. Well, this isn't Madden. And I think there are people that really think that way. I know you think you're laughing and think I'm joking here, but no, I really do think people think that way. And he doesn't. He looks at it from a business sense. And, you know, anybody, any player that comes out and says, well, you know, I understand it's a business, that's BS, because they still get hurt about it. And, you know, they don't look at it that way. They look at it, I'm the man, and, you know, I was loyal to the organization. I don't think Logan's going about it that way, but there are some. John Robinson puts all of that to the side. And he's, as I said, he's gotten better at it as he's gotten older and he's been on this job longer. And so far, I think it's working. I think that process is working. The Patriot way, the Titan way, the John Robinson way, whatever you want to call it, it's working. If it continues to work, then none of this is going to matter. We're just going to look at, okay, he's building a championship caliber football team.
Did you read into anything with Logan Ryan's, I guess, goodbye letter on Instagram, that he thanked the fans, he thanked the teammates, but he didn't thank the organization or the coaches?
No, because they all do that. Because he's butthurt. I mean, like, it's,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
like,
and
like
I don't
he didn't
mean that.
He didn't sit there and say, you know, thank you to the Titans for, you know, three great years. It was the fans, his teammates, the animal welfare community, and then the state. The sentence that I mentioned earlier of, I'm looking forward to continue to play at an elite level for an organization that's a great fit for my family and me, and. You know, he also threw in hashtag pay Derek at the end of it.
Yeah, I thought that was funny. Derek responded.
I did not see that.
Yeah, he did.
But I just found it interesting. You know, Jared Stillman on Jared and the GM yesterday was kind of having this same thought and looked up some other goodbye messages from free agents in this offseason, and they were all thanking the organizations and the coaching staffs, and Logan Ryan didn't do that. Who knows? I mean,
I don't read that much into it. And let me say this about Logan. It's okay. It's okay for him to be upset. I don't blame him. But where he made a mistake was coming out saying, or letting it get out, I should say, that he wouldn't take less than $10 million. That does you no favors to let that get out. It mm-hmm. does you none. Not with this organization or anyone else. Because a GM's going to go, okay. Well, this was a pretty deep draft with corner, so I can get somebody less than $10 million.
Well, if you're a veteran free agent in the NFL, you can't draw your line in the sand. You just can't.
No, not in today's climate.
No,
there are too many talented players, and so you can't do that. So yeah, I don't read that much into it. I understand what Jared's saying, that, you know, and he's looking for others and thanking the organization. I think he's upset, and I get it. I would be too, but in the end, he's going to get signed. I don't think it's going to be to the contract that he wants. he'll play football this year and go out and do it at a high level again, and maybe he'll get paid the next time around. But he didn't play this right. I believe he knows that now. His agents probably know that now. And
does he?
He may never admit that, but he's a smart guy.
If I
had to guess, he knows that.
Okay, well, I mean, I'll go back to the statement of him saying that he'll continue to play at an elite level, which to me sounds like he still has that line drawn in the sand on a contract.
You have to now, Ryan. I mean, he's got to double down on it now. You can't backpedal, pardon the pun, being a DB, but...
Well, he's going to have to backpedal if he wants to get on a team this year.
But he can't say it. Like that in that statement, he's going to say it exactly how he think he's going to stick to his original message is what I'm trying to say. And he did that. So there you go. Logan Ryan says goodbye. One other free agent that's a high-valued free agent says he's ready to go. He's ready to sign. We'll tell you who that is, and you'll hear from them when we come back on the Rundown. ESPN, 102.5 The Game. Do you own or manage a small business? Are you open and want to let people know about that? Then Free Business Friday on ESPN, 102.5 The Game is for you. I still want to say Free Beer Friday. This Friday, we're offering free advertising.
I see where your mind is.
Yeah, baby. This Friday, we're offering free advertising to local businesses that are safely open and working. This is a no-cost, no-catch offer. All you have to do is go to thegamenashville.com/FBF for more information. Free Business Friday is our way of supporting small businesses as we get through this together from your friends at ESPN 102.5 The Game. Chase McCabe, Ryan Porth, Marquise Munson. It is the Rundown. And Ryan, we started this off talking about a free agent that is still on the market, and some may be surprised that they still are. And then there's another one that everybody talks about. Jadeveon Clowney, still out there, still waiting for a team to sign him. We know that the physicals, you know, they can't get him in front of a doctor, so that has slowed things up. But don't worry about it, because he has now come out and he has let teams know, hey, I'm good, I'm healthy, I'm ready to go.
I might have a little more than expected. I don't know if people think I'm hurting because of what I went through because of the core or previous years or what didn't hurt. I don't know, but I just want to let people know I'm ready. I'm going to be ready to go whenever time comes. Whoever I sign with, I'm going to get the best version of me. I'm working. I'm staying ahead of schedule. I'm working, and I'm going to be ready to go when training camp starts, and whoever I sign to is just looking for the best of Jadeveon Clowney to come out there and perform and leave it all on the field.
The best Jadeveon Clowney. He's ready to perform, ready to get out there and help a team. They got video. This was a news story, I think. This was a station in Houston that did this.
Fox 26.
Yeah, thank you. Fox 26 that put this story out there of him working out, and you see him just doing it all. Was this a little ploy? Was this a work, as they say in the wrestling business, by Clowney and his representatives, like, hey, let's get you on tape. Let's let these teams see how good you look right now.
It had to be, right?
I mean, just like
when Tua was doing all the video workouts at D1 here and at Lipscomb Academy with Trent Dilfer and spending time with him pre-draft. I mean, that was all in an attempt to prove to NFL teams that couldn't see him at a pro day or couldn't have, you know, the one-on-one time with him as much as they wanted to because of COVID. It was all to prove that Tua was healthy and ready to go. And who knows if that impacted Miami's decision to draft him at number 5. Who knows if that video on Fox 26 in Houston would impact Clowney's ability to sign with a team faster. But I would have to think that's a part of it. You know, yes, they can't get any sort of physical with Clowney because of the state of everything right now. But who's to say in the next couple of weeks that can't change? And if it does, then I think teams that are highly interested in Clowney will start pursuing getting physicals done with him just to make sure that the investment that they could be making is worthwhile. So I totally think that was strategic on Clowney's camp's part.
All about the optics, Ryan. It's
yep.
Always about the optics. So they get a news crew out there, and, hey, you just go through and do your workout, and we'll get some good video, and we'll put this out. You know, you can say you're ready to go. The bottom line is, you know, I can combine the Logan Ryan conversation. You know, it came out that he wanted to make 20. That was the asking price, that he wanted $20 million a year. Well, dude, you're not getting that. And everybody said that from the beginning, that he wasn't going to get that. Then it's kind of come out, okay, maybe 15, 16. Yeah, dude, you're probably still not going to get that. That's way too high. At this point, I stick with the 13 to 15 range, maybe even 10 to 13, somewhere in there, and it'll probably be like a 1 or 2 year deal with the team, which is fine. I mean, okay, if you're really good to go, then sign a 1 year, $12 million deal with the Titans and go out there and earn it. Earn your next contract. And if the Titans pay you, great. If somebody else pays you, great. Either way, you get the money. I get it. You know, you hear the phrase that players, you know, they want to chase the bag. That's what they want. They want to go get the money. But at this point in this climate, he's not going to get what he thinks he is worth. So there has to be a compromise. But teams haven't, or they've been calling, but he hasn't gotten the contract yet that he so desires. So he's trying to campaign a little bit, and I don't blame him. I don't blame him at all. But I don't know how much a Fox 26 report is going to, you know, if John Robinson's going to see that and all of a sudden go, hey, you know what? He looks good. Let's go sign him. It's not that simple. They still have to be able to get him in front of a doctor. And hopefully, you know, in the next few weeks, that'll be easier to do, and they might be able to bring this to some resolution. And whether it's with the Titans, I know he said later on in that interview that he hasn't ruled out Seattle, but I kind of feel like Seattle has ruled out. It's the same thing with Logan Ryan, you know, giving Christian Fulton 20 or giving him the number 26. I believe Seattle's already issued number 90. So,
yeah, I mean, Jaron Reed, a defensive lineman for the Seahawks, was number 90. Then he switched to 91 when Jadeveon Clowney signed with Seattle so that Clowney could get 90. And then Jaron Reed, a week or two ago, tweeted out that he has switched back from 91 to 90. And I don't think the Seahawks let him do that unless they know Clowney ain't coming back.
Yeah, I would agree with that. 615-737-1025 if you want to call or text. Mike is on the line. Mike, welcome into the Rundown.
Hey, guys, man. Thanks for taking my call. So I am on the same bandwagon, I feel like, with the majority of people saying that if we can get Clowney at a good price, then honestly I'd be okay with it. But my question is why hasn't anybody been talking about Everson Griffin from the Vikings? I understand he's older, and I understand that he's kind of in like a similar position. But, man, this guy has been a lot more consistent in terms of health, and also has produced as many, you know, more sacks than Clowney has been. And honestly, I know that his contract demands are he thinks he can make the same amount of money that I think feel like Clowney's kind of throwing out there. But if we're going to be throwing money at somebody at the same time, just for a one-year deal, because I'm at a place where if Clowney comes in, like you guys were saying, we pay him $13 million for 1 year and he blows up, we're not going to be able to afford him at the $21, $22 million he's going to want the next go-around. Why don't we go ahead and sign Everson Griffin for the same, for like $12 million? We're only going to get him for a year, and then we can get him play the game next year. And I'll just listen to you guys. Thanks.
Thanks, Mike. Look, it's an interesting question. Everson Griffin had 8 sacks last year for Minnesota. That's the only team he's played for. I have read Minnesota has not ruled out bringing him back, that could still happen. He's 32, so he's older. He's older than Clowney. I don't know about injury concerns or anything like that, but even on a one-year deal, Ryan, $12 million for a 32-year-old player that has been in the league for, I think this would be season 10 for him, I don't know about that.
I mean, I'd rather spend the money on Clowney, but I understand Mike's point of why isn't anybody talking about Everson Griffin. And also to Mike's point, he's been a lot more productive in his career. I mean, look, 57 sacks in the last 6 seasons, and really it's been in the last 6 seasons that Everson Griffin has been a starter for the Minnesota Vikings in his first 4 years. He only started 1 game, but ever since he became a starter, 57 sacks in the last 6 years. That's over 9 sacks per year that you're averaging, 9.5. And Jadeveon Clowney has never had a double-digit sack season. So could Everson Griffin kind of be hybrid option between, you know, what we're talking about with Jadeveon Clowney now and what Cameron Wake was last year, and maybe you bring in Griffin on a 1 or 2 year deal. I'm certainly open to it. You know, I just think people talk about Clowney because Clowney was a former number one overall pick, and a lot of people feel like Clowney is a top 20, 25 defensive player in the game. You know, no matter what his results have been.
Yeah, that's an interesting point because I haven't really thought about him. It's always been Clowney or Marcus Golden, but it looks like Marcus Golden is going to be staying with the Giants, so take him out. But I haven't really thought about Everson Griffin until Mike brought that up, and I don't hate it. I just, you know, the age concerns me a little, but, I mean, if Frank Gore can play until he's 60, which I think is probably going to happen, then I think a 32-year-old defensive end coming to the Titans isn't the worst thing in the world. But it's an interesting one. It's an interesting signing.
Cam Wake was 37 last offseason when the Titans signed him, and they signed him early in free agency. I believe it was the first day or two of free agency that they signed Cameron Wake. That didn't bother them then. You know, it could come down to just a straight scheme fit, whether or not they think Griffin is a fit or not. But I don't know if I would necessarily, you know, use the age for Griffin as a reason why not to sign him if they signed Cameron Wake to a contract last year. Now, Griffin is going to earn more, so that's certainly a factor in this. But I still think Clowney is the number one target, even though Griffin could be a solid plan B option.
Yeah, so Ben texted in and said there's news today about the Eagles' interest in Clowney, so I pulled that up. And guess what? Their little ploy worked because this report, the Fox 26 report, now has the, I guess it was Mark Berman put on there that the Browns, Ravens, Titans, and Eagles are the teams that are interested in Jadeveon Clowney. And so I don't know how much truth there is to that, you know, what the source is on that, but there's another team that's popping up. And we've seen that through this whole process that the consistent teams have been Seattle and Tennessee and Cleveland to an extent. But then there are other ones that pop up of, oh, they're interested in Clowney. Oh, they're interested in Clowney. And then it just kind of fizzles out. So who knows? I say that and watch him sign with the Eagles. That'd be my luck. But I just, you know, who knows? I don't know when this is going to be resolved, but Everson Griffin now has me thinking, but I still lean towards Jadeveon Clowney being the one for the Titans. But if that doesn't work out, then maybe they look at Griffin. Who knows? Very interesting. Very interesting stuff indeed. Now, yesterday on Darren Donick and Chase, we got into a pretty good debate, and a lot of you weighed in on athletes and like the greatest athletes of all time that just they stand out generation to generation. Charles Barkley brought up Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods being the only two that are just the best of the best of the best. And you have another candidate that you feel like should be in this conversation. We'll discuss that when we come back. The Rundown, ESPN 102.5 The Game. During this time, Crown Royal and ESPN 102.5 The Game would like to raise a toast to our heroes who are serving on the front lines to protect our communities. Thank you for your sacrifice. You're the definition of true royalty. To submit your local hero, connect with us on social media or text us at 615-737-1025. Visit thegamenashville.com and tell us about your heroes. Then join us at 4 o'clock each weekday as we raise a toast to our heroes. Cheers. Crown Royal. Must be 21 or older to toast. Please drink responsibly. And also, shout out to the nurses today.
Yes.
It is National Nurses Day. So shout out to all of you. I have a few friends that are nurses and even know a few that had, you know, been practicing and got out and then went back in with all of this. So very, very cool. And just appreciate all of you, everybody that is working on the front lines.
Well said, Chase.
So yesterday we had this discussion, and everything seems to be coming from The Last Dance, but we had this discussion based upon what Charles Barkley said with Scott Van Pelt after The Last Dance about the greatest athletes that he's either played against or seen that. And he named Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. Here's what Charles Barkley had to say before Ryan gets to his point.
I've been in this game since 1984, the game of fame or NBA.
Right.
Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods are the two greatest athletes I've ever seen in my life. I've been around a lot of movie stars. I've been around a lot of great athletes. Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods are the only two guys I've ever been around where people actually lose their mind when they see them or they're in the room with them. And I can always say this, hey, it was an honor and a privilege to play against Michael. It was an honor and a privilege to play against watch Tiger in his prime. But those are the only two guys. As much as I love Magic and Bird and Roger Federer and Novak Djokovic, and in football, you got Tom Brady, who's the greatest football player ever. When you're around Michael and Tiger, there's a different animal. You realize, like, I'm around something that's crazy and special.
Charles Barkley with Scott Van Pelt. Now, you heard some of the names we threw out there and some of the listeners threw out. Muhammad Ali has to come to mind. Serena Williams. I had somebody text me Cal Ripken as a possibility, but there was one in particular that we did bring up that you feel strongly should be in this conversation and maybe a top three.
I think LeBron James has to be in this conversation. And I'm not sitting here saying that LeBron James is equal to or greater than Michael Jordan as a basketball player, but when it comes to some of the greatest athletes of all time, especially in our generation, that's kind of where Charles Barkley went. That's kind of where you guys went on the midday show yesterday, where, you know, what athletes are bigger than their sport and can draw the best of the best celebrities to the arenas that they play in. And every time they open their mouth, it's instant news. LeBron James is as much instant news and brings out the celebrities as much as Michael Jordan and Tiger Woods. LeBron James is the most followed athlete on Twitter, not on Twitter and Instagram, that isn't a soccer player. Cristiano Ronaldo and Lionel Messi, I believe there's one more soccer player that I can't remember the name of on Instagram that have more followers than King James. But LeBron James is a generational athlete that absolutely has to be in the stratosphere of MJ and Tiger Woods, because everything that LeBron does, everything that LeBron says, it becomes instant news, whether it's political, whether it's something that is generic with basketball or the NBA or Kobe or sports as a whole. Everywhere he goes, there's paparazzi. LeBron James is the biggest athlete in the world right now, and he's been one of the top NBA players, if not the top NBA player, since he got in the league, and that was in 2003. And we're sitting here in 2020, and LeBron is still one of the top players in the NBA. He's bringing Space Jam back. I mean, Michael Jordan is the only other one to be on Space Jam, and here's LeBron James bringing Space Jam back. I say that
Chuck was in Space Jam.
I know, but MJ was the star. MJ was the star. Like, LeBron is going to be the star of the next MJ. But my point is, LeBron is a complete lightning rod, whatever he does, whatever he says. And the fact that, yeah, and I understand what Chuck is saying, and Chuck probably is biased towards MJ over LeBron. I get it. But in that conversation, LeBron has to be there. He has to be right there with MJ and Tiger Woods. Probably, in my opinion, a little more than a lot of the other names that were discussed yesterday in the 12 o'clock hour.
Oh, for sure. And I believe, you know, Darren brought this up, and I've kind of processed it. And I believe he's right that Chuck, I don't think Chuck, I'm not going to say he doesn't like LeBron, but I think there's some, it's a different era. It just, Chuck went about his business differently. Jordan went about his business differently. And so there are some things that LeBron, and I know that we brought up the fact that LeBron has bounced around to different teams. Chuck played for three teams in his career, just like LeBron did. But it's a different era. I mean, there's a more of a free agency era in the NBA than it was, you know, back then. So I guess I get that, but LeBron needs to be in this. I think it's a top three.
Yeah, he does, and I can understand why people might look at what he's done in terms of bouncing from team to team, and maybe that has hurt his brand, and it probably has. I mean, if he stayed in Cleveland his entire career and brought championships to Cleveland instead of just the one in his second stint with the Cavs, then he would have never had the decision, which was a dent in his brand, and it took a long time for people to get over the decision and going on TV at the Boys and Girls Club and announcing that he's taking his talents to South Beach. You know, there's this thought towards LeBron that maybe he needs other superstars to be on his team for him to win. You know, he goes to Miami and he suddenly wins his first two NBA titles with D-Wade and Chris Bosh with him.
He needed his Pippen, and that's what everybody said. Everybody was like, he needs a Scottie Pippen.
Right. So
he didn't have that until he got to Miami.
Right. I mean, you know, Booby Gibson and Larry Hughes were in Zydrunas Ilgauskas were his, you know, tag team partners in Cleveland his first time around. But LeBron, and he has also said some things politically that have not gone over well with the public. So maybe that is why the public does not view LeBron in the same stratosphere as MJ. But when it comes to just an overall athlete and being bigger than their sport, LeBron has to be in the conversation. And I think just a smidge behind LeBron, I think you can mention Kobe Bryant as well.
Yeah. And now I'm going to throw out another name, and don't roll your eyes. Hear me out. But I want you to really think about it. The Rock. Now, I know he's got Hollywood. That's a part of it too. But you can say that with others. But even though he got famous in a sport that's a very niche sport, wrestling fans are, you know, they're kind of in their own little world. Everybody knows who The Rock is.
Don't people view The Rock as more of an actor than he did in wrestling?
But technically, if you call him The Rock, that's his wrestling name. So right. People don't know him as true. Dwayne Johnson. So
he won a national championship at Miami.
Yeah.
No, I totally understand his sports background, but Marquise, you bring up a great point.
Yeah, people don't call him Dwayne Johnson. People call him The Rock, which is technically his wrestling name. So wrestling and The Rock.
In fact, he tried to drop that for when he first got big in Hollywood. He tried to forget wrestling and get as far away from it as possible. But he realized that The Rock had so much value to it, and people were always they weren't going to go, oh hey, it's Dwayne Johnson. Because most people will go, who the hell is Dwayne Johnson?
Yeah, and then he tried Dwayne The Rock Johnson and The Rock Dwayne Johnson. And
yeah,
no,
now it's just The Rock.
No, it's just The Rock.
Mm. I mean, that's his Twitter handle, and you know that he's introduced as The Rock. So this conversation can go on for days and days and days because Bo Jackson, you know, this is blowing up again. People are texting Bo Jackson, you know, and I don't remember – I was obviously – that was before my time. I mean, Bo knows. I know he was a big deal, and the injuries, you know, stopped his career. So he could have been even bigger. But I personally don't put him in the same, you know, stratosphere as the guys we're talking about. But people from that era might say, no, Bo should certainly be in that conversation. But it's a fun one. Mm-hmm. It's a fun debate. But I will say at the end of the day, I agree with you. LeBron has to be – in this conversation.
I mean, The Rock is not someone that I have considered in that conversation. And I did not realize until I just pulled it up that The Rock has 182 million followers on Instagram.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And he's a global star. Now, some people have, you know, become fans of his because of the movies and don't really know much about the wrestling career. But he also brought people to wrestling. Because, you know, because of all the acting. I mean, it's all intertwined. So, but, yeah. I mean,
LeBron has some acting skills, too.
He does. Oh, yeah. Trainwreck. He was my favorite character in Trainwreck.
I thought Trainwreck was more of a train wreck than some other people thought it was, but LeBron was great in that movie.
I don't love the movie as a whole, but he was hilarious. He was just, I mean, he was so funny. If you haven't seen it.
And another wrestling character that's in that movie.
There's a wrestling character?
I thought John Cena.
John Cena's in that movie. Yeah,
yes.
That's right.
John Cena's part was.
That's the most excited Chase has been all morning.
Yeah, John Cena. I've been excited today. What are you
talking
about?
Roles, his lines in the movie probably cannot repeat in on the airwaves.
No,
but it's hilarious.
Funny. So there you go. There's our athletes conversation, and I'm sure this will come up again at some point in time. When we return, though, here on the Rundown, there was a Predators player that I believe was extremely important in setting the foundation of this franchise to move forward. We'll discuss who that was next here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Little Run DMC bringing us back here on the Rundown. Enter the ESPN The Game Nashville's uniform drawing contest for a chance to win a jersey from either the Nashville Predators, Nashville SC, Nashville Sounds, Vandy, or MTSU. Download a jersey template from thegamenashville.com or draw your own and submit for your chance to win. Game listeners will then vote on the top three uniforms from each category. That's hockey, soccer, football, basketball, and baseball, with the winner getting a jersey from that sport. Enter today at thegamenashville.com. I have submitted mine, even though I don't believe I am eligible, but is what it is. Welcome back into the Rundown, Chase McKay.
Yours
Ryan
were
Port.
Really cool.
Yeah, I was inspired after watching The Last Dance, but got on Photoshop and had a little fun making the Bulls design with our game logo on it. So it was kind of neat.
We tweeted out the black jersey. Did you said you made the red jersey too?
Yeah, I need to send that one to you. We can put that one out.
Okay. All right.
All right, so last night, this is a new concept that we've started here with our Facebook Live. We're doing these specials called Game Night, where we get on through Zoom. We get on Zoom, and we put it on Facebook Live, and it's kind of like a Sunday conversation, you know, just a laid-back talk with somebody. I had the opportunity with Teron Davenport to talk to Nate Washington the other day. If you missed it, it's on our YouTube page. It's still on Facebook. It was fantastic. It was awesome. The stories
great
that he told, Randy Moss, Kenny Britt, those guys. So you need to check that out. But last night, Ryan, was Jordan Tutu. And I teased this, that he was a player that was very important to laying the foundation for this organization early on. And I know you might hear that and go, wait, what? Jordan Tutu? But if you think about it, and I've said this before, he was the first fan favorite. Really, I mean, there were others that, you know, you could say, okay, it was a popular player, but he was the first guy that I feel like this fan base really got behind, and you saw a ton of the jerseys, the tutu whistle that, you know, was for the Preds Foundation. He just had this larger than life, and you'd see him around town, and everybody knew Jordan Tutu. And that was huge for this organization as they were trying to build the foundation to grow into what they are today.
Mm-hmm. No, you're exactly right. And Jordan Tutu was someone who unexpectedly made it to the NHL, you know, became the first NHL player from Inuit descent. And he told the story last night on game night with Darren McFarland of Kevin Allen visiting Jordan Tutu up in Nunavut. And telling the story of Jordan Tutu becoming the first ever player of that descent to get to the National Hockey League. But at that point in the franchise, so Jordan Tutu broke in 2003. His rookie season was the 2003-04 season, which was also the first season that the Predators made it to the playoffs. And he arrived in Nashville at a time where there were a lot of new hockey fans and, you know, fighting was still prominent in the league. So Jordan Tutu, when he was just racing around the ice, throwing around big hits and getting in fights, that was something that a lot of the new hockey fans or French hockey fans really wrapped their arms around and loved going to games and loved watching Jordan Tutu do that for their team. So, you know, he was phenomenal with the fan base. He said last night, on game night, that whenever he had an opportunity to to mingle with the fans and bond with the fan base, that he took that opportunity and ran with it because he knew how important it was, and that that was something that his dad instilled in him as he became a Nashville Predator. Yeah. I'll always remember sitting up in 302 during his first homestand in a Preds uniform, and I believe it was either his friend or his brother was wearing the Inuit flag like a cape and running up and down one of the lower bowl section aisles. And he was on the Jumbotron, and it was just this huge thing when he broke in. And Tutu, you know, he had his ups and downs. He had to go into alcohol rehab in the 11-12 season, and he told that story of, you know, him sitting at a red light at DeMumbrian telling himself, yeah, I have to do this, before he met with David Poile and Barry Trotz and told them the same thing. So yeah, Jordan Tutu, one of the most memorable Nashville Predators of all time. If you missed game night last night, you can catch it on our Facebook page, on our YouTube page. It is worth your time. It was a great one-on-one conversation between Toots and Darren.
Yeah, and for those of you that may not know the history, and Darren, when we first started 102.5 The Game, the first player show that we had was the Jordan Tutu show. And so Darren hosted that, and they talked about that and joked about the player show curse, that, you know, if you did a player show, generally you got traded or you weren't re-signed in free agency. And I thought it was cool, too, of how he went into explaining that when he left that it was time. It was, you know, because he had just come out of the rehab and it really turned things around. And so he kind of looked at it as a new opportunity on life, and that it was time to probably go play somewhere else. Mm-hmm. He had a deal in place with the Rangers, and it was looking like he was going to the Rangers. And then Detroit came in at the last minute with an offer that he just couldn't turn down. And he even discussed that, of how, like, oh man, this is Nashville's biggest rival, and now I'm signing with them. And I remember it wasn't that the fans turned on him, but he got some boos. They didn't mm-hmm. like that. And yep. then later on, he plays for Chicago, and you know, Jordan being Jordan, you know, he's going to be a chirper, a trash talker. There was some of that going on in the playoffs, but it was very neat when he came back, when he retired, and they brought him back and had Jordan Tutu night. And I remember he did an interview with Jeremy Gover, just discussing his time here. You could feel how genuine it was, and the love that is still there between the Predators fans and Jordan Tutu. I think I was out of town, but I was watching that game on TV and could hear the whistles. So mm-hmm. they're still there. I have mine somewhere. But you know, I remember when he made his debut, and I wasn't a huge Predators fan by any means at that point. But I remember it being such a big deal. And when I started to go to games regularly, I was always watching for number 22. So again, check that out. Game night on our Facebook page and YouTube with Jordan Tutu and Darren McFarland. Ryan, we're out of time. That's going to do it for us today.
Good stuff.
Good show here on The Rundown. We'll be back at it at 9 o'clock tomorrow. For Marquise Munson and Ryan Porth, I'm Chase McCabe. Stick around. Darren Donick and Chase is next.